Well, I don't mind David, Derek, Dennis. It doesn't matter. I've been called far worse, so thank you. good morning, everybody. And here we are again. Another harvest. So, you know, some churches don't have harvest celebration anymore. They say it's just not relevant in today's world. Well, I think it's rather sad, don't you? It includes my own church, so I can say that with some conviction. Of course, we don't want to just go through the motions. You will have heard about the little girl who was walking through the park with her mum and dad and saw two men, one digging a hole in the bank, the other one, as workmen sometimes do, standing watching. And after the first man had dug the hole, the second man waited for about 1 minute, then stepped forward and filled in the hole again and stamped it down like that. And they moved on, and the first man, he dug another hole, and the second man waited for about a minute, and then he filled the hole back in and stamped it all down. The little girl, she just couldn't contain herself any longer. She said, "Excuse me, sir, I'm not sure what's going on, because one of you is digging a hole, and then there's a little break, and then the second person, Sarah, just filling the hole in. I can't see the point." He said, "You don't understand." He said, "Normally there are three of us." He said, "Well, see, I dig the hole, Sid puts the plant in, and Bill here fills in the hole afterwards, but Sid's on holiday." Well, you know, church life can be a little bit like that if we're not careful. Just going through the motions and not asking ourselves why we're here and what God wants for us today and indeed every day of our lives. Some words from Psalm 104. "He," that means God, "makes springs pour water into the ravines. It flows between the mountains. They give water to all the beasts of the field. The wild donkeys quench their thirst. The birds of the air nest by the waters. They sing among the branches. He," that's God, "waters the mountains from his upper chambers. The earth is satisfied by the fruit of his work. He makes the grass grow for the cattle and plants for man to cultivate, bringing forth food from the earth, wine that gladdens the heart of man, oil to make his face shine, and bread that sustains his heart." Well, our Lord God has given us plenty of water from above, hasn't he, in the last few weeks, but we're grateful that he does. We wouldn't want to live in the middle of the Sahara Desert, would we? Our loving Heavenly Father, this morning, those words reflect our thankful hearts as we meet together in this building to celebrate your love as seen through harvest. We thank you so much, our God, that we live in a land of plenty. We thank you that we have choices to make about what we eat and what we wear and what we drink. We thank you, Lord, for a roof above our heads. We thank you for the tap that we can turn on in the morning to give us fresh water, and all those basic amenities that we can take for granted. But we want to express our thanks to you this morning, our loving God, for all these things, all these good gifts sent from heaven above. And we're mindful, Lord, this morning that there are many in this world who do not enjoy these things in the same way. We ask that we will have generous hearts and an open mind about how we might share your love in practical ways in these days, indeed in every day. But we thank you for one another, Lord. We thank you for the great gift of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who came that we might have life in all its fullness. And so we just claim that promise this morning, Lord. We thank you for blessings in the past. We thank you for what you're going to do right now in this place during this coming hour, and indeed for the future and then forevermore. Bless those who are not able to be here, we pray. whatever they're doing, wherever they are. We pray that they will just feel a touch from your Spirit this morning. As we ask, we dare to ask for ourselves. We know, Lord, that you long to bless us. We pray that we will be ready to accept it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. And thank you. And thank you to our musicians, of course, this morning. We do take our musicians for granted, don't we? I started to learn to play the piano about 18 months ago. Oh, dear. I hadn't realized it was so hard. Here's me, just a young man as well. Imagine what it's like if I were to get older and try and learn. So we do appreciate your musicians and all the hard work they put into practicing. Now, I don't know if you remember a time when Jesus and the disciples went across the water of the lake to try and get some rest. Now, if you're like me, you're not very good at taking breaks. I'm not good at that. I need to improve. But Jesus and his men, his band of disciples, his followers, were across the lake. Jesus' men were weary and sought a place to rest. They looked around to find a spot that suited them the best. "Come away," Lord Jesus said, "to a lonely place. Rest a while and breathe the air. Across the lake there's space." The noise was all left far behind, as in the boat they soon were rowing hard with straining arms, the water to consume. "There's land ahead," one shouted. "We'll soon be there, you'll see." As into sight loomed larger now the hills of Galilee. The silence was refreshing. The wind blew strong and free. A straggly bush, a scree of stone were there beside the sea. "It's time we had a rest day. That crowd was far too big. I felt as if I'd soon be crushed and snapped just like a twig." So spoke a young disciple, and all gave him a smile. They hadn't been alone like this for quite a little while. "Well, what are we to do now? Our time's our own, it's clear. Just a question of where to go and whether far or near." But as they stood there chatting, a new sound filled the air. At first it started softly, like the breathing of a prayer. Soon it grew much closer, and a murmur filled the place. They turned to see a startling sight. Amazement gripped their face. For stumbling around the lakeside and striding across the glen, converging on the barren shore, were streams and streams of men, women too, and children small, old and young were there, swarming to the lonely place with little time to spare. "Just look at this lot coming," disciples yelled out loud. "In all the time we've known the Lord, there's never been such a crowd." But Jesus stood there quietly. He smiled and climbed the hill, waited, praying, eyes of love that shone and sparkled still. Once again they'd found him, searched with longing heart, desperate to know his touch, seeking a fresh start. Lame were there, and blind men. Some were weak and pale, deaf and dumb, sick and ill, people strong and frail. Jesus touched their bodies, spoke such words of peace. Healing came, and hope looked up as many found release. So morning sparkled gaily, and higher rose the sun, while midst the joyous harmony, afternoon wore on. Then suddenly, "Oh, Master, it's such a lonely place. Day has waned, the evening soon, yet all around is space. The people are all hungry, so send them out, we pray, to villages and local towns. They'll have to go their way. Tell them to buy some food there, to get something to eat, bread and apples, fruit and figs, to nourish in this heat." There followed a short silence. Then Jesus turned and said, "The people need not go away. You give them food instead." "Us?" exclaimed disciples, their mouths spread wide with fear. "How can we give things to eat? We've nothing tasty here." "Just a while," called Andrew. "Here's a little lad. He's brought a picnic lunch to eat from his mum and dad." "What's he got?" asked Peter. "I see 5 loaves and then fishes, but there's only 2, and we've 5,000 men. But Jesus, in a clear voice, said, "Bring them here to me, and line the people up in rows. The power of God you'll see." Then Jesus took the 5 loaves and fishes, but a few. While looking up to heaven, his prayer was short and true. And after saying thanks to God, he passed the food to them. "Give it to the people now, to children, women, men." Disciples looked quite doubtful. How could it be enough to feed 5,000? Maybe more would take a lot of stuff. but trusting Jesus fully, for they'd seen him work before. They lined up all the people and sat them on the floor. They moved between the ranks and rows and gave out fish and bread. But as they gave away the food, they found some more instead. With a growing sense of wonder, they watched the people eat. Not just a bite, but well enough to put them on their feet. And so the day drew to a close. The crowd dispersed, and then disciples gathered up the crumbs. More and more again. 12 baskets worth collected. Food and lots to spare. Disciples and the master too could have some dinner there. A miracle of wonder had been performed that day. The memory of God's mighty power would never fade away. Yet, greater still the message, so marvelous and clear. To trust our God and Saviour means there's nothing left to fear. He promises to give to us enough and some to spare. His loving arms are open. We see him standing there. Don't be afraid, he whispers. Just come by faith to me. I'll feed your body, mind and soul on a hill called Calvary. Late. Now, I don't know, has it been anyone's birthday? We're not going to sing happy birthday or anything embarrassing like that. Anyone had a birthday recently? You know, I have one every 12 months. It's funny, I don't know if it's the same for you. Every 12 months I seem to get a year older, but I've decided there is a way. So there is a way to get around this, and that every birthday, knock a year off. In fact, I should be 23 next year. It really does work well. Well, there was one chap, I don't know if those of you who are older remember being 21. I mean, where did those 10 years go? I don't know. But you're not supposed to laugh. Yeah, 21st, so it was rather important. And his dad, I've just changed my car, and so I'm kind of got used to going around to you know, sales venues for vehicles. And his dad actually owned one of those car sales places. And his son was pretty sure that his dad was going to give him a sports car for his 21st birthday. And he really was looking forward to this because he got one of these old bangers, and he was certainly just dropped little hints. And so his 21st birthday came, and this is supposed to be true, this story, incidentally, and his dad gave him a box. And he thought, that's funny. I said, you know, happy birthday, son. And he opened the box, and in the box was a Bible. And it had a little note from his dad, son, this is the greatest gift that I could give you, the Word of God. Unfortunately, the son became agitated and angry, and he stormed out because he hadn't got his own way. And his dad tried to, you know, to stop him, but it was too late. He went out, and you know, he not only went out, but he left home. He went and gathered his stuff, and he left home. And his dad was pretty heartbroken, and sad to say, his dad died prematurely. That means earlier than he would have been expected to die. The son, rather shamefacedly, came home when he heard about his father's death. And in clearing his father's belongings, he came across the box. Remember the box that his father had given to him with the Bible in for his 21st birthday. And of course, he felt really dreadful now. And he picked the Bible out. He hadn't touched it, but he picked it out. And underneath, there were some keys and another note. It said, "Happy birthday, son. Drive safely. The sports car is round the back." Because of his anger and because of his disappointment, the son had not only lost this great gift, but he'd missed having his sports car as well. And I wonder if sometimes we are anxious for something that God will give to us in his time, and we just don't know how long that time is going to be. And sometimes we pray and nothing much seems to happen. It might not happen until even after our death, in some cases. You might be praying for a relative, friend, a neighbour, someone very, very close to you, that that person's life would change and he or she would come to know the Lord Jesus Christ and acknowledge that there is a God. And maybe it seems nothing happens. You think God just seems to be saying no or ignoring my prayers, but he isn't. And who knows the mind of God? But we do know that it is for our good, whatever he does. But his timing is always perfect. Of course, money isn't everything, but it's quite useful to have a little bit of it, isn't it? I'll see how much I've got in my pocket at the moment. Ooh, it sounds a lot. £4.50. Now, older friends, when it had been £4.10 years ago, you'd have thought you were pretty well off, wouldn't you? If you got £4.10 in your pocket, the younger ones are looking nonplussed. I mean, this just seems, you'd hardly get a cup of coffee is about £2 something, isn't it? But we would have thought we were wealthy then. But money isn't everything. And I came across a little item from someone who entered the lottery. Now, I don't know if you go in for the lottery. I don't myself, but perhaps you do. He'd gone into the lottery, and it was this was 2008, and he won 19 million. So in 2008, that was a huge prize, wasn't it? I mean, today, you can, goodness knows how much you can win. And he won this 19 million pounds. Now, this is what he said. He said, "I'll give it all back if I can swap it for a long life with my wife." Stephen Smith, that was his name, who suffers from a blood condition which could kill him at any time, said he would exchange the money for good health in a second. He said his aortic aneurysm, a swelling in the body's main blood vessel, was a ticking time bomb which could burst at any moment, with only a 1 in 10 chance of survival. Mr. Smith, who won Saturday's jackpot, said, "There's no shops in the cemetery, is there? I can't spend any of the money there." Now, as far as I know, Stephen Smith was not a believer. I don't know about his condition. But it did just remind me when I read that, about how easy it is to get swallowed up by a desire for things. In Psalm 65, we read that God cares for the land and waters it. He enriches it abundantly. And then it goes on to speak about the crown, that he crowns the year with his bounty, and your carts overflow with abundance. Now, harvest, here we are. We haven't got long. Harvest one will be here before we know it. But here we are at harvest again. I just want to conclude with a few more words, if I may. I wonder what you associate with harvest. I see we've got quite a lot of produce down there. It hasn't become popular to have produce, which I think is a pity. But it's good to see it here this morning and to know that it's going to be used well. But I thought my earliest memory of Conkers in their cases, in their prickly cases, seeing it on the nature table at school. Anyone have a nature table when they went to school? They don't tend to have it now. I can tell how old you are if you've got your hand up, by the way. Or crunching through the leaves. It'll soon be autumn, won't it? Spiders' webs. I looked out the window. I thought, what's that on top of the bush? And it was a spider's web that had caught the sun, and it looked white. And these colours and so on. You know, harvest reminds us of God's promise to provide what we need. And someone has said he provides what we need, not necessarily what we want. And harvest is an opportunity for us to be generous. It's a time for genuine commitment and rededication. And it's a time, you know, to face reality about the future. Some of us are getting older. Actually, I've never met anyone who isn't getting older, have you? So it's a bit silly to say some of us are getting older, because we're all getting older, but you know what I mean, older. And the future beckons. I do want to say this, if you remember nothing else this morning, if you're an older friend here this morning, there is springtime of life. There is summer. There is autumn. And then there is springtime. For the believer, there is no winter. Springtime of life, the summer, the autumn, followed by springtime. Now, if you're younger, it may not seem quite so important, but the older you get, the more important it becomes to know that beyond this life, there is more. I had a friend who was dying from a rather unpleasant disease, and I went to see him, and he said, "I don't believe in this God stuff and all that. My wife does, but I don't." He says, "I think once you die, you blow out the candle, and that is that." But that's not what the Bible says, and that's not what Jesus promised. He said, "I promise something beyond this life, something which is far more satisfying, something which is beyond description, really." But the Bible does its best to describe it for us. A little earlier I said none of us are perfect, but I want to just change that. And if you've switched off, switch back on for a second. You can be perfect. I might be looking, and I probably am looking, at quite a number of perfect people. Now you say, "But I'm not. I know I'm not perfect. How can you say that, Dennis?" Well, I'm not saying it, but the Bible does. It says, when we trust the Lord Jesus Christ for our Savior, when we believe there is a God, believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God who gave his life, who rose from the dead, who ascended to heaven, who is one day coming back, when we believe that and embrace it for ourselves, God doesn't look upon us anymore as we are. The Bible says he doesn't look upon our sin, our wrongdoing, those wrong thoughts, those wrong words, those wrong actions anymore. He looks upon the perfection of his Son. Now, I don't know about you, but the more I think about that, the more amazing it is. It's almost as if we've got a bubble around us. And that's the perfection of Jesus. Years ago, a group came to our church in Birmingham. I'm not from a church background, but the Lord, I'll tell you about that another time. He found me. And it was an evangelical church, very much like this one. And do you remember Clive Calver, some of you, who was head of the Evangelical Alliance? Clive Calver came with his little team when there were just some unknowns. And he had a conversation with God, and it went like this. "Lord God, please forgive me all the terrible things that I've done. I know I'm a sinner. I know I deserve, your punishment." And God said, "What sin, my son?" Don't play games with me, God. I know that you know all about my I don't remember. I choose not to remember." "Yes, but you must know. Look, I mean, the things I said the other day, and I was thinking this and I did that." "I will remember your sin no more." God doesn't forget it. He chooses not to remember it. And dear friends, maybe there's a little lesson for some of us. Hanging on to, I don't know what it is, some memory, some situation, something has happened in our lives that has not been pleasant. And kind of we're hanging on, we won't let it go. Well, people say, "Oh, you must forget it." You can't, though, can you? You can't forget it, but you can choose not to remember it. And to love that person, even so. So there's a lot about harvest. I've got pages and pages of notes, actually, which I'll have to use another time, on another occasion. But it's great to know about the goodness of God. And it's great to know that even though the Bible describes us rather in this way, I hope I've got enough breath. This is one I did earlier, actually, for Blue Peter fans. The Bible said that Jesus came to give us life, that he will fill us with his Spirit. Now, of ourselves, this is what happens, isn't it? Of ourselves, that's what happens. In fact, the Bible says that if we rely on our own goodness, we just end up as a bit of shriveled rubber. But if we confess to God this morning and just give him our praise, he promises to fill us again and again. In the book of Jeremiah, it says, the summer's coming to an end, the autumn's here with us. It's time to make sure that you're saved. And maybe for someone here this morning, it's time to make sure that you are right with God through Jesus Christ. We thank you, our loving Heavenly Father, this morning for all your good gifts, but especially for the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that as we enjoy today, we will also have a close eye on what tomorrow might bring. We're glad that tomorrow is in your hands, but we pray that we'll be absolutely sure this morning, this afternoon, that we belong to Jesus, because Jesus comes now to find us. Help us not to just delay. Help us not to put barriers in the way. Help us not to find excuse, but just to submit to him this very moment. Thank you for all that we've shared. Thank you for all the children here, our musicians, the people on the desk at the back, all those who've organized food and catering, those who've got the chairs ready, those who've done so much in preparation and prayer. And our God, do we pray that you'll lift our spirits now, as you promised, to remember our sin no more. And all these things we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you for listening so well. Thank you.